Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 24. Tasmaramus tanuvritam aham ishashogya. Ayushriyam vibhavavam andriyam avrinchat. Nechamite vilulatan vi uru vikramena. Kalatmano panaya mam nijabritya parshvam. Tasmat, therefore, Amu, all those opulences, Tanubritam, with reference to living entities possessing material bodies, Aham, I, Ashisha, Agya, knowing well the results of such benedictions. Ayu, a long duration of life. Shriyam, material opulences. Vibhavam, influence and glories. Aindriyam, all men for sense gratification. Avirinchat, beginning from Lord Brahma, down to the small ant. Na, not. Ichchami, I want. Te, by you. Vilulitan, subject to be finished. Uru vikramena, or extremely powerful. Kala atmana, as the master of the time factor. Upanaya, kindly take two. Mam, me. Nijabritya, parshvam, the association of your faithful servant, your devotee. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the ant. As powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. Purport, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, every intelligent man can get experience like that of Prahlad Maharaj through historical incidents mentioned in this great literature of spiritual knowledge. By following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, one should gain through experience that all material opulence is perishable at every moment. Even this body for which we try to acquire many sensual pleasures may perish at any time. The soul, however, is eternal. Ahanyate hanyamane sharire. The soul is never vanquished, even when the body is destroyed. An intelligent man, therefore, should care for the happiness of the spirit soul, not of the body. Even if one receives a body with a long duration of life, like those of Lord Brahma and the other great demigods, it will also be destroyed. And therefore, an intelligent man should be concerned with the imperishable spirit soul. To save oneself, one must take shelter of a pure devotee. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar payeche keva. One wants to save himself from material nature's onslaughts, which arise because of the material body. One must become Krishna conscious and try to fully understand Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. One should understand Krishna in truth, and this one can do only by serving a pure devotee. As Prahlad Maharaj prays that Lord Nrisingadev place him in touch with a pure devotee servant instead of awarding him material opulence. Every intelligent man within this material world must follow Prahlad Maharaj. Mahajano Yenikata Sapanta. Prahlad Maharaj did not want to enjoy the estate left by his father. Rather, he wanted to become a servant of the servant of the Lord. The illusory human civilization that perpetually endeavors for happiness through material advancement is rejected by Prahlad Maharaj and those who strictly follow in his footsteps. There are different types of material opulence technically known as bhukti, mukti, and siddhi. Bhukti refers to being situated in a very good position, like a position within the demigods and the higher planetary systems, where one can enjoy material sense gratification to the highest extent. Mukti refers to being disgusted with material advancement and thus desiring to become one with the Supreme. Siddhi refers to executing a severe type of meditation, like that of the yogis who obtain eight kinds of perfection, anima, lagnima, mahima, etc. All who desire some material advancement through bhukti, mukti, or siddhi are punishable in the due course of time and the return to material activities. Prahlad Maharaj rejected them all. He simply wanted to engage as an apprentice under the guidance of a pure devotee. Tasmaramus tanubritam aham isha shogya ayushriyam vibhavavam aindriyam avarinchyat nechamite vilulutan uruvikramena kalena manopanaya manija britya pashram. My dear Lord, now I have completely experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the ant. As powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with the pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. There are six qualities for pure devotional service mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and there are two for sadhana bhakti. So since I've asked this question before, who can tell me what the two qualities of sadhana bhakti are? Well, that was pretty quick. And what do they mean? All auspiciousness. Yeah. And what are the five qualities of auspiciousness? Ananda? What are the five? What's that? That's right. Auspicious for everyone, too. What's that? Well, we just jumped to Baba Bhakti. Actually, that's Prema Bhakti. It's the only means to attract Krishna. And here? So it's all, it gives on all good qualities. The happiness is above material happiness. It's gives one, it's auspicious for everyone. And you look it up in the Nectar of Devotion. That's good quality, though. You know where to find it? In any case, well, as Ananta Prabhu is looking for, everyone is looking for happiness, and here it says, bhukti mukti siddhakami, that the main happiness in the material world is sense gratification, either in the form of elevation to the heavenly planets or material opulence in this planet, or liberation by merging in Brahman, and also getting mystic perfections, which are obtainable even on this planet to some degree or another. But all those benedictions, all those qualities or attributes that one may obtain in this planet, they're all temporary. And by endeavoring to obtain them, one may acquire some karmic activities and wind up actually becoming degraded in the next lifetime. As we see even great yogis like Durvasa Muni, who utilizes his mystic power to try to kill Ambarish Maharaj. He was about to get himself into a great deal of trouble, and the Sudarsan Chakra was going to burn him to ashes. And after all, even if one gets these benedictions of material opulence, even mystic power, the only happiness in the material world is, besides the idea that I'm controlling everything, which is the basic happiness in the material world, but basically eating, sleeping, mating, defending are all just different aspects of feeling that one is actually in control of the universe. When the carrot is on the plate, paying dandavats, we feel that now I've become the lord, at least of the carrot. And now I'm going to eat the carrot, and it's going to become one with me and empower me to eat more carrots and some broccoli and spinach too. This way I'm gradually devouring the universe, slowly but surely. So everyone has this idea that they're going to become the controller, but at every moment we're being controlled by the laws of material nature, of which the time factor is prominent and is changing everything for us outside of what we may desire. Even one becomes materially prosperous, but that material prosperity can be finished in a moment. Markandeya Rishi was sitting in his ashram, and he had obtained mystic powers and all kinds of opulence by his meditation. But when Vishnu came and visited him, when Vishnu left Nara Narayan, Markandeya Rishi had a desire to see what the illusory energy looks like. Lord Narayan wasn't very happy with this desire. But anyhow, everyone has their free will. So then after he left, then the devastation took place. It started to rain for 100 years. The whole universe became filled up with water. And Markandeya Rishi was the only one who survived, practically speaking. And he was swimming in the waters of devastation for millions of years. In the freezing cold, no food. There were timangal fish and sharks trying to eat him. And that went on for millions of years. But he definitely got a good glance of the illusory energy. Finally, he saw Krishna sitting on a lotus leaf. And then Krishna breathed in, and he was sucked into Krishna's body, and he wound up back in his ashram. And then Krishna breathed out, and he was back in the waters of devastation, suffering again. So, not something you'd want to wish for. If you're going to live for millions of years, you wouldn't want to live in the waters of devastation, being eaten by timangal fish or sharks. Did you find it, Ananda? Okay, what is it? It's not only beneficial, but it's attractive for everyone. Yes. So devotional service, if it's executed properly, can give one a higher taste than material sense gratification. And in that state, one can actually come to the spiritual platform. That's called nishtha. And nishtha is the beginning of actual spiritual life. So unless one gets that higher taste, then one is still may have some desires for bhakti, for mukti, or siddhikami. In any case, one has to learn how to tolerate these desires and try to make spiritual advancement so that one will recognize the futility of trying to get material prosperity in some way or another. Therefore, sometimes Krishna sends problems, especially in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is glorified for the easy process of chanting Hare Krishna. But it's not so easy if one is bound up by material desires. When the party was going to go to the wedding, and they had to cross the river, they're on the boat, and the boat was going to pull out during the evening. So there was a huge boat, and they were going to cross the river, the Ganges, and the bridegroom part, the wedding party fell asleep on the boat, and all night long the oarsmen were rowing the boat. And when they woke up the next morning, they found out they were still on the other side of the river. So they chastised the oarsmen, saying, "Why didn't you work at night? You know, we're going to miss the wedding." He said, We were rowing the whole night. So why are we still in the same place?" So then they looked around the boat and they found out they had forgot to pull in the anchor. So simply, if we're holding on to our material attachments and we're chanting the holy name, and we're not making any progress, it's not because the chanting of the holy name isn't working, it is because we're still bound up by our material desires. We won't give them up. Therefore, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if one is chanting the holy name and still attached to material desires, then there's a good possibility by offensive chanting, instead of watering the bhakti lata bij, the creeper of devotion, we may be watering the anarthas, the weeds that may grow up and choke the bhakti lata bij. As explained here, we have to follow the footsteps of great devotees, but actually follow them. Otherwise, although we may claim we're following the footsteps of the great devotees, but actually our real heroes may be the footsteps, may be the non-devotees. And therefore it says here that, well, Prahlad Maharaj says in three verses, "Vitirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vratadam Adam Go Vira Vishitam Dhamizram Punat Punas Charvita Charvanana." Our endeavor should be to focus our mind on Krishna, to put our mind upon Krishna. But most people are not interested in that, because although they're in difficulty, their idea is to solve the difficulty by taking shelter of other materialistic people, or as it says in the Bhagavatam, bigger animals become the heroes for the little animals. But they never take Krishna as the hero. And what is their reason? Because they think that if they can have a comfortable material position, either bodily or socially, or what, if they can somehow or another make everyone materially happy, then they'll become happy through the process of sense gratification. Although, Prahlad Maharaj said, it's the same thing over and over again, still they think this time it will be different. Matera in the Krishna, Te Bidu Swartha Katim Hi Vishnu Dharasya Ye Vahya Artha Manina. They don't think Krishna is very important. They think he was just an aboriginally cowherd man who appeared in Vrindavan in some village, like Brahma thought, and who's this talkative boy who's stopping my, or Indra thought, who's this talkative boy who's stopping my sacrifice. He doesn't know how the complete cosmic manifestation is being managed. Therefore, he dares to insult the demigods. Or Brahma even came and thought, who is this little boy? How could he be God? He has some fruit salad in his left hand. He doesn't even know he should have the fruit salad in his right hand. And these foolish demigods are claiming he's God. So people don't know that Krishna is God. He's the goal of life. And therefore, they have to choose something else as the goal of life, something insignificant. So they choose some Mahatma. Andaya tandira pigiyamanas te pisha tandra urudami vara. They have to choose someone, a rock star, music star, a sports star, an actress, an actor, someone as their leader. Mahajano yena kata sabhanta. And they follow him in order to experience, get the same taste that this hero, this leader, is experiencing. But they're blind. They don't see that they're going to leave their body and that they're souls, and therefore they're blind, and therefore they, both of them, simply get into trouble, the leader and the followers, because the law's material nature take care of, well, they reciprocate with those who are blind, who follow. If one follows the laws of material nature, one will get the reaction for what everyone does. If a child, innocent child, puts his hand into the fan, the laws of material nature don't say, well, he was innocent, he didn't know, and therefore the fan won't hurt him. If he's so foolish to put his hand into the fan, then under the laws of material nature, he's going to get hurt. Similarly, one cannot claim innocence that they didn't know how the material nature is working, and therefore they perform so many activities in the lower modes of material nature, but still, whatever they claim, the modes of material nature will work, and they'll wind up getting the appropriate birth in the next lifetime. Whereas Krishna says, Tanaham dvishita kuran samsareshu naradama shi pramyajasram ashubham asrishveva yonishu. Tanaham dvishita kuran samsareshu naradamam shi pramyajasram ashubham asrishveva yonishu. Those who are envious and the mischievous and lowest among mankind, I perpetually cast into the lower species of life. So Prabhupada points out here that whether one is a karmi or a jnani or a yogi, one is considered to be envious of Krishna. Everyone is trying to take Krishna's position, and therefore their activities will generally be mischievous. Mischievous meaning not following actually the purpose of Shastra. And therefore they'll eventually become degraded into a lower species of life. Therefore, we have to judge people's activities not by how much everyone else is glorifying them, but by how much they're actually following Krishna's directions, how much they've actually surrendered to Krishna and fulfilling his purpose of life. Otherwise, one may be glorified as a great yogi or as a great karmi or as a great jnani, but it actually has no meaning in terms of reality because it's all temporary. Today I'm a great jnani, and tomorrow I may be a dog. As Prabhupada said, Mr. Nehru, the Prime Minister of India, He was controlling a huge population. He felt that India cannot live without me. Even he was told by the doctor he has only 2 weeks to live. He still stuck to his post, thinking that if I leave, India will fall apart. Of course, India was already falling apart. In any case, India left, and according to Prabhupada, heard from one astrologer that Prime Minister Nehru took birth as one of two dogs in Sweden, in a house in Sweden. So he was so essential for the country, but now he couldn't do very much for India and Sweden as a dog. And India is still there, but we don't know where Mr. Nehru is now. Maybe he took birth again as a dog, but he had his own bowl instead of having to share it. Therefore, one should not become infatuated with one's illusory conception of one's importance in this world or the importance of others in this world, but should try to see things through Shastra and see what's actually valuable, that the soul is valuable, and if we help the soul, then that's real value, that's real progress. And everything else is just Shravam Eva Hi Kevalam. It's just a waste of time, because most people won't agree with us, and therefore better not to talk to most people. If they don't want to listen to us, we'll just be wasting our time listening to them for the most part. If they don't want to understand about the soul, they want to tell us about the material world, then why should we be so much interested? Because whatever they're saying is only temporary, and they'll probably forget it tomorrow also, what they told us. Because it has no meaning to them either. It has no as much meaning, according to the Bhagavatam, as the babble of sea waves. If we go to the shore of an ocean, the waves are coming in and they make sounds. And if you sit there all day long trying to understand what the sounds are, you'll be wasting your time because it's just babbling of sea waves. So similarly, all the mental concoctions about what's going on in this universe, they're all just like babble of sea waves because people don't see anything clearly. They just see whatever the modes of material, illusory energy through the modes of material nature are causing them perceive. But it's all just mental concoction. There's no basis in actual reality. They don't know who they are. They don't know who God is. They don't know what the purpose of life is or how to achieve it. Nor are they doing anything to achieve the purpose of life. And therefore their activities are all ultimately meaningless. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
So, listening to the sea waves, wouldn't that also make us understand Krishna or somehow get closer?
Well, you can try it. Is there any ocean area? You can sit there.
Oh, I'm asking because Radhanath Maharaj is saying in his book how he was listening to Ganges flowing.
And well, then maybe the Ganges, you can get some special benedictions.
Oh, okay.
It's a spiritual river. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandma Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.